Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together. We are continuing our series on the price of revival and the price that God is calling on us at Westside to pay so that others can experience a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. Now, as I have said previously, probably not any of us will be called to pay all of these prices. I believe all of us will be called on to pay at least one of these. Some may be called on to pay two or even three. But you need to seek the Lord as He will begin to impress upon you. You may already have an indication of which price or prices you're being called on to pay. But seek the Lord, be open and obedient, and He will give you the direction and show you which price He has for you. Now remember that His grace will enable you to pay the price. And so at the same time that we say that we must pay the price, that for every blessing of God there means someone has paid the price, we realize ultimately Christ has paid the price. But we're called on as the body of Christ, as Paul said, that I might fill up that which is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, that in some way we as a body of Christ here on earth must also enter into the hardships and difficulties, paying the price that the spiritual blessings can flow. But it's not a work of ours, because the grace of God enables us to pay the price. So see it as us being allowed to participate, to be given the privilege of being a part of what God's doing as we participate by paying the price so others can see His hand in their churches and their lives. We have seen the price of being an intercessor. Last week we saw the price of fasting. This week we shall begin to see the price of intensified spiritual warfare. The price of intensified spiritual warfare. Now, this is a very interesting subject in itself. There are two aspects to paying the price of intensified spiritual warfare. First aspect is you being the victim. You don't have a choice in that. That's not something that you choose. You have been chosen. And if you are experiencing the intensified spiritual warfare, then you know it, and you know you are a victim of this situation. You are paying this price. But there's a second aspect to it, and that is, I believe God will also lift up others who are not experiencing the attacks, who can come alongside those who are, and support them and undergird them and be the warrior that will help them come through it. So that you will have a choice in. So there's the first one that has no choice. He finds himself in the warfare, very intensified. But then there is the one I believe God's going to call to come beside those who are experiencing the attacks, who themselves are not experiencing it, so they can intercede, as we'll be talking about today. But first we need to talk about what is this intensified spiritual warfare like. And we need to talk about it for two reasons. Number one, for those of you that are undergoing this intensified spiritual warfare, you need to see what the Scripture says about it so you can say, hey, man, I'm not crazy after all. I'm not losing my mind. This is really biblical what's happening to me. And then secondly, for those of you who are not going through this intensified spiritual warfare, you need to get a glimpse of what these people are going through so that you can pray for them and you can sympathize for them. Because if you're not going through it, It is very difficult for you to really understand the intensity and the vicious nature of it. So let's go to the Apostle Paul, the one who has written more in the New Testament than any other, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And let's ask him, Paul, what is this intensified spiritual warfare like? Paul himself waged the war and was a victim of this intensified spiritual warfare. So let's ask him, what was it like, Paul? And our attention is turned over to Ephesians chapter 6 for the first word that Paul uses to describe this intensified spiritual warfare, and it's found in Ephesians 6:12. And that is, it is a struggle. It is like a wrestling match. Ephesians 6:12. Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. The word struggle there is an athletic term of the Greek language. It is to wrestle. Now, you have to understand the wrestling games of the Greek days of Paul to really get the full impact of this word. It was nothing like what we, what some of you see on television on Saturday nights. Nothing like that. Not even what we may see when we see the Olympic Games and the wrestling that's there, although that's much closer than what you see on television. But in the Greek Games, the wrestling match and the victory came when one opponent pinned the other to the mat by holding him down, by holding his neck down with his hands to the mat. Now the loser's eyes were gouged out and he remained blind for the rest of his life. And so you can see it was a very serious and dramatic contest. And so when Paul says this intensified spiritual warfare is like a Greek wrestling match, he is painting a very dramatic and serious picture of this spiritual warfare. Now we can also learn something about the nature of this warfare from the term of wrestling. First, we can learn the constancy of it, the relentless nature of it. Now if you've ever been involved in wrestling, you will know the intensity and the constancy of the activity in wrestling. I mean, they are always going at it. You know, it's not like in boxing where they dance around the ring. In wrestling, they are in combat most all the time. Not only is there a constancy to it, a relentlessness, but there is a weariness involved in it that I believe is unparalleled in any other sport for the shortness of the duration of time. Obviously, if somebody's running 15 kilometers, there's a weariness in that. But in wrestling, just in a 3 or 4 minute cycle, there is a tremendous weariness that comes because of the constant pressure and force being pushed against each other. So if you've ever wrestled, you know the weariness that comes with that. And so I think Paul is saying this intensified spiritual warfare has a tremendous weariness that comes with it, as there is that pressure and that pushing against the forces of evil and the forces of evil pushing against the person. There is a relentlessness to it, a constancy to it. But then Paul gives us another word yet in 2 Timothy to the right, chapter 3. When Paul uses the term savage, this intensified spiritual warfare is a savage thing. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The New American Standard translates the word difficult, but I don't think that really gives the full nuances of this word. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Well, this word difficult means savage. It means fierce. It means hard to bear. It means perilous. In fact, this same word is used over in Matthew chapter 8 to speak of two men that are demonized. And the demons control these men, and they are, as the Scripture says, exceedingly violent. And that's the same Greek word that's translated difficult here when Paul is speaking of the last days and the intensified spiritual warfare that we can expect. And he says it will be exceedingly violent. This speaks of the intensity and the unbearable nature of this intense spiritual warfare. Not only will it be relentless, but it will be vicious. And if you're going under it, you know exactly what we're talking about. Just the relentlessness and the viciousness of the attacks. They just keep coming. They don't let up, except for brief moments. And then they come back again. Now we turn to the Old Testament, we can see some other concepts. Over in Daniel chapter 7, that's a rather interesting passage dealing with the Antichrist and his tactic against the Christians of that day. Now we know the Antichrist is going to be empowered by Satan. He is Satan's man. The tactics he uses are going to be nothing less than the tactics of Satan. And so in this verse, we have an insight into the tactics that Satan's going to use in these last days of which we're in. Daniel 7:25, listen. And he, that is the Antichrist, will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. This intensified spiritual warfare will have the results of wearing down, to wear away, to wear out the saints of God. These attacks are so vicious and persistent and intense that they will wear down the Christian. They will wear you out until the place that you say, I am ready to quit, I am ready to give up. What is the use? You become so weary, so tired of the persistent and constant struggle that you want to give up and quit. And you think thoughts like, what's the use? Death would be better than life for me. Now look over in 1 Samuel, still going back to the left. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here we see yet another term Holy Scripture uses to speak of this intense spiritual warfare. This passage involves King Saul after he'd sinned against God and the Spirit of God had left him and an evil spirit came to torment him. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. So the word Scripture uses is to terrorize. Now in the Hebrew, that word means to fall upon. It means to overwhelm. And that's what we see in this intensified spiritual warfare. It's like these attacks just come on you. They just fall on you. Everything seems to be going all right, and then all of a sudden it just seems like they fall from nowhere. They're like, they just come down upon you and overwhelm you to the degree that you do not feel you can do anything about it. Now let me say that those who are experiencing these intensified spiritual attacks are not experiencing them because of any lack of something in them. It's not because of their lack of faith. It's not because of their lack of time in the Word. It's not because of this or that. I don't know why they're the ones that are experiencing the attack, but they are. And let me tell you, when it gets so intense, they get to the point that they don't even have a prayer within them. They can't even bring a prayer up. They get so pushed down. They get so oppressed. They get so knocked down. They get so overwhelmed. They don't even want to pray. It's an unnatural thing. It is a spiritual thing. And we need to understand the level of intensity that they're experiencing. Because they need our help. They need other Christians to come alongside them. Now let's go back to Paul's words. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul gave us general terms of what we could expect in this intensified spiritual warfare. But let's put it to Paul more pointedly. Paul, what was it like for you? Tell us about your intensified spiritual warfare so we can understand those who are going through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is speaking about his ministry here. He is speaking about what it was like to be an apostle. And he gives characteristics of his ministry. And look at these terms. Paul says in verse 4, "But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance." In other words, Paul said that when I look over my life and when I look over the warfare that I have encountered in my life, what I realize is I have had to exist in much endurance. Now, what does the word endurance mean? It means to remain steadfast under the pressure. It means when you want to run, you don't. It means when you want to quit, you keep going. It was a term used of the Roman army. It's a military term that the Romans came up with, this idea that when they would attack, that they would have a line of soldiers, a couple of hundred soldiers long, and they would each be holding door shields. And the door shield was called a door shield because it was like a door. It was so big, a soldier could get down behind it and he would be completely protected. Well, these soldiers would line up in a straight line across the field, each holding the door shield, much like the riot gear that police hold, except it was a full-length thing, and they would march forward. And you can imagine the awesomeness of a column of wood approaching you, and you shoot your arrows, it wouldn't do any good, and they're just coming relentlessly towards you. Well, the opposing army got the idea, we'll pull out our cavalry, and then we'll charge them with our horses. And so the opposing army would charge these Roman soldiers with their horses. And so what the Roman soldiers would do is that they would kneel down and they would put the shield over them and slant it like a ramp. And the horses would run over the shield and then run past the soldiers, and they would turn around and they would be able to throw the spear or the sword in the officer or the soldier that was riding on the horse. And the term for that soldier remaining steadfast under that shield when he heard those horse hoofs coming, anticipating that horse and the full weight of that horse trampling over him, and yet he would remain steadfast under that pressure, is this word endurance. Pretty good picture, isn't it? And that's what Paul says his ministry was characterized by, much endurance. That meant there were many, many times Paul wanted to quit. He wanted to cut loose and run. He wanted to turn and take off. But he said, "I did not do it. I stayed firm. But I sure was tempted. I became so weary. I became so tired. I had to exercise much endurance in my ministry." Paul goes on to say, in afflictions. Paul says, my spiritual warfare was characterized by affliction. The Greek root means to break. It means to crush. It means to press or to compress. It was used to speak of a pressure or burden upon one's spirit. So I think Paul is speaking about that feeling of pressure, that feeling of weight pressing down on you, the struggle even to do things. And when people get under intense spiritual warfare, it's just like a weight is pressing down on them. It's just like they're pulling weights behind them. And it's a struggle just to do anything. It's just a great struggle to pray. It's just a great struggle to get into the Bible study. It's just a great struggle to do the normal activities, because there's so much pressure there. And it's just a great struggle and difficulty just to rise above the pressure a little bit. And about the time you get up, you feel like something knocks you back down. Paul says, in affliction, in hardships. This word has at its root the idea of compulsions. When people get in intensified spiritual warfare, they can become compulsive almost in their behavior. It's just like, it's just almost like it's controlling them. And then he uses the term in distresses. This means to be in a narrow place. It means to be in great distress, to be in straits. Now the term affliction carries the idea that you're being pushed down from above. This term carries the idea that you're being squeezed from the sides. Now, it's interesting, as I was thinking about this, there are times when we actually get the feeling we're being pressed down, don't we? We feel like a pressure is coming from above us. And then there are other times when we feel like things are pushing in on us. We feel like we're being pressed in from the sides. Now, I don't know why that is, but we sense that sometimes, don't we? And these two words cover those impressions and those senses and feelings. And the spiritual warfare is that way. It is a pressing from above, pushing us down. There is a pressing from the side, squeezing us, putting us in the straits. And then Paul said in beatings and in imprisonments and tumults and labors, in sleeplessness. Sometimes when people go into intense spiritual warfare, they wake up during the night, they can't sleep well, and there's a sleeplessness involved in it. Now turn over to chapter 4 as Paul gives more insights about the intensified warfare he encountered. He says in chapter 4, beginning with verse 8, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed." He says, "We are perplexed." That is, being at a loss to know which way to turn. That is, to be puzzled. And we find that in intensified spiritual warfare. People say, what's happening to me? I don't understand what's going on. Am I losing my mind? I had a lady in my office just this past week said, "I don't know what's going on in my life." She said, "I've always loved Jesus, but some things are going on I don't understand. I'm just having some feelings and I'm struggling like I've never struggled before." That's a perplexity to it. Paul says, "Perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed." And that struck down means to be knocked down, to be thrown down literally. It's like every time you get your head above the water, you get knocked down again. That constant struggle just to keep your head above the water, just to keep going. And things keep coming and knocking you down. But Paul says, though he was afflicted, he was not crushed. Though he was perplexed, he was not despairing. Though he was persecuted, he was not forsaken. Though he was struck down, he was not destroyed. But the truth is, some of you who are encountering this intense spiritual warfare do feel like you're crushed. And you are despairing. And you do feel forsaken. And you do feel like you're destroyed. Well, what's the difference? Why could Paul go through it and yet see victory when some of us are going through it and we are being knocked down and worn out and pressed down to the point that we don't even feel that we can lift above it at all? What is the difference? There is one foremost and ultimate key that we shall look at today. And the Lord wants us just to concentrate on this one today. The others we will see in a couple of weeks, because He wants us to spend the next 2 weeks concentrating on this one. What is it? Prayer. Prayer. The first and foremost way to victory is prayer. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Paul, in this chapter on the spiritual armor and spiritual warfare, says in verse 18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, Paul had the saints of God praying for him. I am convinced the only reason that I personally have not gotten down to the depth of what some have experienced in this body is because of your prayers for me. I have experienced the attacks, but I've not gotten down as low as some because I'm convinced your prayers. Because more of you pray for me probably than for any other person, single person in this church. And I need those prayers and continue those prayers. But Paul had the prayers of God's people. That is one of the most important things that he had. Because when a person finds themselves in the very height of this warfare, as I said earlier, they get so down, they get so oppressed that they don't have a prayer in them. They don't care. They're ready just to give up and quit. They don't care if they live or die. They just say, what's the use? So they need others to step in and wage the war in prayer for them. They're so down, they're so under the pressure that they need someone else to come alongside, to undergird, to lift up, to wage the war in prayer until they can get their head up above enough by the grace of God to get going on their own. You that are being called to be intercessors, you need to pray for those who are involved in this intense spiritual warfare. Husbands, if your wife is one of those, you need to wage the war in prayer for her. Wives, if your husband is one of those experiencing, you need to wage the war in prayer for him. Others in our body need to pray for those that are experiencing it. Those of you who are experiencing the spiritual warfare need to come out of the closet. You see, that's another thing. They don't want to admit it because they think there's something wrong with me. Why am I going through this? They need to admit it. They need to say, look, I'm going through this intense spiritual warfare. I need help. Now, some of these things, as I said, like fasting, you don't tell people that. Perhaps even the intercessors won't tell people because of the danger of pride. But those who are encountering intense spiritual warfare must humble themselves and admit it. I want you to call the church. I want you to put your name on a piece of paper and give it to me if you're undergoing this intense spiritual warfare and say, I need the prayers of God's people. I can't keep going. I can't keep doing this. It's killing me. I feel like I'm about destroyed now. And we're going to publish a list of those who are encountering intense spiritual warfare so the rest of us can pray for those. And my name's going to be on the top of that list because I need it too. But those of you that are experiencing it, you've got to come out of the closet because Satan loves the darkness. He loves for you to go through this thing alone. But once it comes out into the light, once his clandestine and evil purposes are brought out into the light and the people of God can join you, then we will be taking a major step toward you getting victory and relief from these barrages from the enemy. Now I want to show you the necessity of prayer. Look over in Mark chapter 9. Look in Mark 9. The necessity of prayer. Jesus had been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his glory shone through in such a way that his clothes were whiter than any launderer could make them. It was just a brightness of the sun. When he came down from that time on the mountain, and he had just taken three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, the other disciples were down off the mountain. A man had come to them whose son had been demonized. They had prayed for this boy, but nothing had happened. Now, previous to this, Jesus had given them authority to go out and to cast out demons. And they had gone out and had seen people delivered from demonic oppression and from being demonized by the power of the name of Jesus. So they had seen it happen before. But in this particular case, they prayed and nothing happened. Jesus comes down. And he prays for the young man, and the young man is delivered. They're leaving, walking away, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we don't understand. We prayed, nothing happened. Why was it that you could deliver this man? Jesus gives the answer in Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Jesus said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." Now this kind, I think he is speaking of this particular evil spirit, but this particular intensity of this situation was such that only through prayer, and I might add much prayer, only through extraordinary prayer can this deliverance be accomplished. Only through protracted and persistent prayer can those who are involved in this intense spiritual warfare be delivered. And that's why they need those who are willing to say, "I will come and stand beside them as a spiritual warrior, and I will offer this protracted and persistent prayer on their behalf, that they can experience this deliverance and victory." Psalm 144 says, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." It is the Lord who will train us how to wage the war. Now, my wife has been experiencing this intense spiritual warfare off and on since we came here 3 years ago. And I have had to learn some things about what was going on in the process. And that's why I can speak to you on this subject, not from simply an academic standpoint. But I have seen times that I have gone in to pray for her and nothing seemed to be happening. And I was praying all the prayers I knew how to pray. But still, no relief was coming. And so I have gone before the Lord and quoted this verse and said, "God, you say you're the one who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And I need to be trained how to wage this war on behalf of my wife." And I just stood and just knelt before the Lord in prayer and just stayed with Him, just calling out to Him until He gave me some direction on praying and how to pray and the amount of praying that needed to be done. And you may need to do the same thing as you pray for those who are experiencing spiritual warfare. You may need to say, "God, I admit I don't know how to pray these kind of prayers. I don't know how to pray the prayers that will see victory in this situation. I'm like Jesus' disciples. I know how to pray some. I know how to pray and see victory in some areas, and I've seen victory over the enemy in some situations, but this is greater than what I've encountered before. I need you to train me." And He'll do it. That shows you the necessity of prayer. And back to Ephesians chapter 6 as we move to the next aspect of the prayer. And that is the variety of prayer. The variety of prayer. Paul says, "With all prayer." With all prayer and petition. All refers to the all kinds of prayers. You see, we must seek God to give you the prayers He would have you to pray. I'll just share with you three prayers that God's given me to pray. And don't use these as definitive by any means, and seek Him for those He would want you to pray. But one of the prayers that He has given me to pray for those who are encountering spiritual warfare is to pray that the light of His holiness, because you remember the holiness of God is depicted in Scripture as light, that the light of His holiness will so shine down on this person and call the person by name that every attack of the enemy, every attack of darkness will be dispelled, because darkness cannot penetrate light. I mean, you just picture the holiness of God shining down over this person, and no attack of darkness can penetrate that light, because the light will dispel darkness. And pray that the light of God's holiness will so shine in this person's life that not only will it dispel all the attacks of darkness, but it will reveal every and any darkness in that person's life. Any sin in their soul and life will be exposed by the light of God, and God's light will burn it out and bring holiness in that life. Pray that they would be covered with the blood of Christ so that every attack of Satan will be powerless, because Hebrews says that he likewise partook of flesh and blood that he might render him powerless who had the power of death, that is the devil. So Christ has rendered Satan powerless. He is without power. And we need to claim the blood of Christ over that person, as the power of Christ makes the power of Satan null and void. A third prayer is that the oil of the Spirit, Scripture speaks and gives the symbolism of oil as the Holy Spirit, that the oil of the Spirit of God will so cover this person that every attack of the enemy will just slide right off. And call that person by name. So seek God to give you the prayers. Pray Scripture over that person. Psalm 91 is a tremendous passage to pray over someone. Personalize the Scripture. Put that person's name in the appropriate places in that Scripture. Somebody said this week, I heard somebody say, "Thou 911 in Scripture." That's Psalms 91:1, which says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." So pray for that person. Say, "Lord, I lift up so-and-so. I claim they dwell in Your shelter, the shelter of the Most High, and they abide in the shadow, Your shadow, Almighty. And I say to You, Lord, that You are their refuge and You're their fortress. You're their God in whom they trust. You will deliver them from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence." And just go through that psalm and put that person's name in the appropriate places and pray Scripture over them. Fourthly, prayers of praise. There is tremendous power in praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat went against the armies that were coming against him. He was greatly outnumbered. There was no hope for victory. But God assured him he would get victory. And he was so confident in the word of the Lord that when he went out the next day to do battle, he put his singers in the front of the battle lines. The choir led out and was in front of the soldiers. And they led out praising God. And when they sung of the loving kindness of the Lord, the Scripture says God routed the enemy and they were put to flight. So pray prayers of praise. Praise Jesus for His victory over Satan. The Bible says that Jesus appeared that He might destroy the works of the devil. Claim the works of the enemy destroyed in this person's life. Praise God that Christ is seated at His right hand, that He is the sovereign authority of the universe. He is the almighty power of the universe. Ephesians 1:20 and 21 speaks of Christ's position as exalted above all. When it says, "Which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion." And those are spiritual forces it's talking about. "And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." Praise God for the position that Christ has as sovereign Lord and King. Pray prayers pleading the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Christ is our merit. It's not in us, it's in Him. Our faith is in His blood, not in even in our prayers. It is His finished work on the cross through His life, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, that the enemy is defeated and that victory comes. So claim the blood of Christ. Plead the blood of Christ. And then prayer is mixed with fasting. There may be a need to add fasting to your prayers before deliverance will come. So first, the necessity. Jesus said, "Except by much prayer." We see the variety with all prayer and petition. Now look at the frequency. Paul says, "At all times, pray at all times." There must be a constancy in our prayers that match the constancy of the spiritual attacks of the enemy. We must live in a constant attitude of prayer. We must live in an attitude of God consciousness. And maybe times you'll need to pull aside for a few hours to pray for someone that God has just placed upon your heart. One of these that has come forward and said, I'm experiencing intensified warfare. It may be you will need to pull away for a day, or maybe even 2 days or more, to fervently pray for those under attack. That is the frequency of the prayers. Now look at the power of the prayers. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Those who are praying must be filled with the Holy Spirit, living in obedience to God. As we are controlled moment by the Holy Spirit of God, He guides us in our prayers so that our prayers are consistent with the will of God. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Word of God. Let the Word of Christ richly indwell you, the Scripture says. The power of prayer is in the person of Jesus. It is in His name that we have power in prayer. It is in His person that we have power in prayer. And the Holy Spirit is none other than the Spirit of Jesus. So to pray in the Spirit is to pray in the name of Jesus, to pray in the person of Jesus. Our confidence, our hope is in Him. So that is the power of prayer, in the Spirit, in the name. The manner of our prayer, we are to be vigilant, alert. He says, in the Spirit, and with view this in view, be on alert with all perseverance. There must be a vigilance. We must be alert. We must be aware of spiritual warfare going on around us and those under attack, and pray for them. There must be a persistence. There must be a steadfastness. You pray and you pray and you pray. You don't see anything happening. Don't give up and quit. Keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And then the objects of prayer and petitions for all the saints. For all the saints. Our prayers are to be primarily for others, not for ourselves. And for those who are in the height of this warfare, they need your prayers. They can't even pray for themselves. They need your prayers for all the saints. Pray. Pray. Now God has called us to pay the price of intensified spiritual warfare. Now, if you are the victim, you don't have a choice. You are involved in it. But to those of you that are not victims, those of you that can say, man, I really don't know that kind of intense spiritual warfare, will you be willing to become a prayer warrior for those who are going through the intense warfare? Will you be willing to say, yes, I will set aside time each day to pray for those that I'm aware who are going through this intense spiritual warfare? Are you willing to do that? Pray for all the saints. It is needed. I wish you understood the intensity of and the viciousness of what some people are experiencing in this body. Just this past week, 3 different individuals sharing with me of the intensity of what they're going through. Unsolicited by me. And that's when I became convinced that's what God wanted me to preach on today, because it was sovereignly ordained that this come to my attention. Again, I knew it was going on in my house, but I assumed, well, maybe not in anybody else's house. But it is. I'd like for you just to bow your heads at this moment, and let's, as we have done each time before, just before God, express your willingness to be a prayer warrior